Of course, the children of Israel going over the Jordan are a representative of the deliverance of the children of the covenant of grace. Look at Galatians 4:28, and we'll probably be back to this verse. Galatians 4:28. Where it says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Every believer of every generation, of all nations, kindred, tongues, and peoples, are children of the promise, and they are born again through the power of the promise that God made to Abraham. In thee and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed." Acts 3:25, we know that what that says, but let's go read it again. Acts 3:25. Let's begin reading in verse 24. "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets." Now, believers in this year are children of the prophets. The prophets prophesied of us. "Thy children shall be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children. I'll give them a new heart and a new spirit, and I'll put my spirit within them." And all those prophecies of the Old Testament that talk about the spiritual birth are prophesying of us and the people who are born in these last days under the New Testament dispensation. Actually, believers of all ages, of all times, are all born of that Spirit. "We are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, all who are given a saving interest in the blood of the New Testament," or the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace, which is the blood of Christ that seals all of the individuals who were foreknown, foreordained, named, and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. We are the children of the prophets and of the covenants. And that gives you an idea of what our works has to do with our being born again, and that's absolutely nothing. It is by the power of God, by the power of the promise, by the power of His covenant. All those things were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed." Thy seed, of course, is Christ. And if we be Christ's, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and not in the flesh. And Galatians 3:6, I'll just turn and read that right quick. Galatians 3:6 says, I better get in Galatians. Galatians 3:6 says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now Abraham, Isaac, and Israel were those who were in the line of the promised seed, and we are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, being believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that faith in Christ being the gift of God, particularly to the children of the covenant. And that's what distinguishes them and marks them as being children of the covenant. Look at 1 John chapter 3. Verses 22 and 23. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that ye believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have fulfilled the commandment of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We shall be saved because we have been saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved at the last day. So salvation is a continuing thing. We were saved from the foundation of the world. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, God hath saved us, who hath saved us and called us with heavenly calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God hath saved us and called us. He didn't call us and save us. He saved us and called us. He saved us, and then he let us know about it when he gave us that life that he had, when he put that life in us and put his spirit in us, the spirit of truth. Now, if we look back at Joshua 1 and 10, or 1 and 2, Joshua 1, 1 and 2, it says that now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I will give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Now, there can be no joint blessedness for the children of men issuing from both the law and the grace of God. It just can't be. It's either all of the law or it's all of grace. It's either all of what Christ has done or it's all of what we can do. For if look at Romans 11:6, if it be of grace, and I'll just read this to you. If by grace, then there's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Can't be grace and law mixed. The time had come for the children of Israel to enter into the realization of the promise that they should pass over Jordan and possess the land that God had covenanted to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. So Moses had to be moved out of the way. It can't be both of law and grace. It's got to be all of grace. Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ because he caused the children of Israel to pass over the Jordan and to possess the land. He was the commander that the Lord had put over them and caused them to pass over Jordan and possess the land. He entered into the fulfillment of the promise, and Moses could not. Moses and those who were the children of wrath, who provoked the Lord continually, died in the wilderness. Moses died. He had to, because the law worketh wrath. Look at Romans 4:15. And let's back up and begin to read in verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but also, he's talking about the Gentiles, who walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law are heirs, then faith is made void, and the promise of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. Now Moses couldn't enter in because of wrath. When he had been commanded to go speak to the rock, which is speaking to the rock, coming to Christ in faith. After Christ, after the rock had been smitten the first time, and the water of life came out of it, and the children of Israel were delivered from death, that was a type of the death of Christ, providing salvation for his people. And then the next time that they wanted water, Moses was commanded to go and speak to the rock. After Christ has been smitten, since the cross, all we need to do is speak to Christ, is to come to him in faith, believing that he is the Christ of God, which is not of ourselves, but is the gift of God. We come believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to receive everlasting life. Well, Moses broke the type. He was angered by them, and he called them rebels. He said, must we draw water for you rebels? Well, God does not, first of all, he doesn't want his children called rebels. They are rebellious children in themselves, but in God's view, they're not rebels, because I have not beheld iniquity in Jacob. But anyway, Moses marred or ruined the type. He went up and he smote the rock through his wrath and brought wrath upon himself. And God said, because you've done this, you can't enter into the land of promise. So the law worketh wrath. And where no law is, there's no transgression. We are dead to the law by the body of Christ, so we're not under the law. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So we're not under the law. We have nothing to do with the law. We're not justified by the law. We don't live by the law. But the law is fulfilled in us through love. Look at Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 8. Now let's begin reading verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Now you remember that was part of the of what was said in 1 John, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. Well, here it is. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now look back at Romans 8. Come back over to Romans 8. Let's read verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and cast off all our works of righteousness as our justifying righteousness and own only his finished work as our justifying righteousness, then we bow and receive his righteousness, and his righteousness, that righteousness of the law, is fulfilled in us because we trust a perfect righteousness and we are covered with the perfect righteousness, and the law is fulfilled in us, for Christ, whom we have received, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And as we walk in love toward one another, and as much as possible to all men, then we fulfill that commandment that God has put in us. And it's not by our own power that we do it. It's by the Spirit of God that's in us. It's Christ that liveth in me. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me by his Spirit. And it's by the influence of the Spirit of Christ that we love one another. Now, if you meet somebody on the street and you begin to talk religion, one thing is going to happen. You're either going to be repelled by this person or you're going to be attracted to them. If they believe Arminian false works doctrine, you're going to be repelled. You're going to be like glue, or not like glue, but you're going to be like oil and water. You're going to separate. But if it's a true believer who rests in Christ Jesus, then there's going to be a bond formed, which is by the influence of the Spirit, that you all are of the same mind and of the same faith. For there's, you know, people talk about, well, if the church is one, why is it so divided? The church is not divided. Everything that says it's of the church is not the church. They're not all Israel that are all of Israel. There's one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. All right, so if when the time had come that the children of Israel were to enter into the promised land, Moses had to be done away with. Moses, my servant, is dead. He had to die. We have to die to the law. And we do. We die to the law by the body of Christ. We are dead to the law by the body of Christ. The deeds of men endeavoring to keep the law can never issue in the justification of those who are under the law and endeavoring to be justified by their deeds of the law, because by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20. Men are deceived into thinking that their righteousness before God is by their own obedience to the law of God. Those who trust their own obedience to the law of God for righteousness are cursed. They're under the curse. Galatians 3:10. Galatians Galatians 3:10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. No man living is able to keep the law. Therefore, everyone who thinks that they can be justified by the deeds of the law, by their law keeping, are cursed. There's only one man who has fulfilled the righteousness of God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans. Look at Hebrews 6:20. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. And let's begin reading at verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, and who's that? That's believers. Show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. And that hope is, the blessed hope is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and our acceptance in him. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. In all of our troubles, trials, and sorrows of this life, we can look beyond all of those things with joy, knowing that we have a sure inheritance in a better world. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, wherein the forerunner is, look at these words, for us entered. It's as if we entered in him. We did enter in him representatively. Representatively, we are there in him and accepted in him. And God joys over us in Christ. Is for us entered in even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Daniel 9:26 says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He was our representative. He was cut off for us. And he came and he fulfilled the law for us, and he justified us by his own blood and righteousness. And we have received the righteousness of God. And I think that'll be enough. We have the righteousness of God imputed to us, and that righteousness is the righteousness that was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right, so we look not to ourselves. We don't look to the work of Moses. To us, Moses is dead. And it had to be after the death of Moses that the children of Israel entered into the promised land, because they had to be separated from Moses. They had to be separated from the law. They had to be separated from thoughts of justification by the works of the law and depend only on God's promise being fulfilled by, in our case, our Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in their case, Joshua, who was the commander of the people appointed by the Lord and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was a typical representative of the law, could not enter into the land of promise with Joshua, the representative of Christ Jesus, because Christ alone had won the law of God is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. The accusations of the law is stopped. Now the law stops our mouth. That's the reason the law was given, to just shut us up and shut our mouth as far as justification by ourselves is concerned and look to Christ Jesus. But the accusations of the law against us are ceased because Christ has fulfilled the law. The sentence of the law is satisfied, and death is accomplished in behalf of those who have interest in the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look at Isaiah 54:25. Isaiah 45:25. In the Lord Jesus Christ, shall all the seed of Israel, that is the children of promise, be justified and shall glory. We don't glory in Moses. We don't glory in works of the law. We don't glory in what we do. We glory in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. As Brother Bill read in the Philippians, let me turn over there and read that. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit. Now, worshiping God in the Spirit is to worship God by the Spirit, and the truth is to worship in Spirit and truth, which is the doctrine of Christ. We worship God being accepted of God in Jesus Christ, and we owe all our praise and honor and glory to Him for our acceptance of God in Him. We are accepted by God in the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. We don't rejoice in Moses. To us, Moses and the law is dead. Moses is dead to us. We're dead to him. Romans 7:4. And have no confidence in our works of the flesh. We know that we can't be justified by the works of the law. look at 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We're all dead to the law by the body of Christ. We're all dead to sin, because we're dead to the law. We're all alive unto God, because we're dead to Moses. We're dead to our works. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now who is dead? Look at verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Well, he died for those who live. And those who live are those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is those for whom he died. He died for all of them. He died for all of them who are made alive in the covenant of grace. If I say that that I am going to walk up to every Indian in this room and give them $500, I'd walk up to everyone in this room that's an Indian and give them $500, and I'd give nobody anything. But if I say, well, I'm going to give everybody in here that has a shoe on their right foot, I'm going to give them $500, I'd be out several hundred dollars. So Christ died for all for whom he died. And that's all of the children of the covenant. Now the world reads that verse and they say, well, see, he died for all. No, he didn't. He died for all for whom he died. That's who he died for. Alright, so we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we're dead to the law, and we live unto God because of the finished work of Christ for us and for the and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The work of Christ for us brings to pass the work of the Spirit in us. Had Christ done nothing for us, the Spirit would do nothing in us. But Christ justified us and therefore gives us of his Holy Spirit, and it is by, he is the Spirit of sanctification. Look at 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that sets us apart from this world experientially. Because of the influence of the Spirit of God in us, you can't get along with people who are religious and live in errorous doctrine. The Spirit that's in you won't allow it. He's going to separate you from them. Because our Lord said, do not think that I've come to send peace on the earth. I'm not going to send peace, but a sword. I'm going to turn the mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother and so on and so forth. Matthew 10:34. So it is by the Spirit of sanctification, or the Holy Spirit that's in us, that simply divides us from the world. Look at that. Through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience of the sprinkling and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks. Now see right there is a separation, but... The people that were being spoken of in the first 12 verses there were given up to themselves. But God wouldn't give us up to ourselves. But it says here, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, or being separated by the Spirit of God from this world and not being allowed to walk along with this world. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, in other words, when God deals with us and chastens us as children of God, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God will not allow us to walk with this world. We might for a little bit, but He will separate us from this world, and it'll be the doctrine of Christ that separates us. People come in here and they say, I'm never going back. I don't ever want to hear that guy again. Well, that don't surprise me. The reason is, my God is not their God. That's just all I think. They serve a God, and I serve the God of the Bible. They know a God, but I know the God that has revealed Himself in the Scriptures. Not because I'm a great one, because I'm not, but because it has pleased God to reveal Himself unto me in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I rejoice in that. That's just another evidence to me that I'm not of the world. Because He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So it don't disappoint me, although, you know, I wish that everybody that came in here and heard the truth could rejoice in it. I'd truly be glad of that. But I face it for what it is. It's just evidence that they are not of God, and we are. We ought to be glad in that, and I think we are glad of that. Let's see, where are we at here? Death in Christ Jesus has separated believers from the law of Moses. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into His death? We're dead to the law by the body. And again, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. That was Romans 6:3. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Romans 6:6. And in another scripture it said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the result of all that, and the immediate fruit and effect of this, of our death in Christ, is that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ actually saved His people. At the cross. That Jesus that just made it possible that men could be saved is a fraud and a fake. Christ Jesus saved His people by His blood shedding and death. And as a result of all that, it's said in Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. Now this is a blessed scripture, no matter how much it is despised of the world. Now Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Not to all and everybody on the earth. Don't. It works together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. How blessed is that? That we are brethren and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the family of God. And we're received and beloved in Him. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. God looks at us as if we were already glorified. Our citizenship is already in heaven. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, that's all for whom he died, how shall he not with him also give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He justifies us by covering us with the righteousness of God and putting upon us the garments of salvation. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. He's already paid the price. We can't be condemned because the debt's already paid. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's written again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, what if we do have to die? Millions of the Lord's saints have already sealed their testimony for Christ by their blood. And if we had to, it'd just be our release from this world, from this flesh, and from the troubles that go along with this world and the flesh. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Now some Arminians add there, except you yourself. And they're liars. Neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Moses is dead. He couldn't enter into the promised land, and his disciples couldn't enter into the promised land because the law worketh wrath. And in Christ Jesus there is no fury in God for us. All right.